College football nerds here talking the game, Michigan and Ohio State. And we're really excited about this one because, as I mentioned last week, it's been kind of a theme this year and in years past that teams right before they play Ohio State, they have a loss and it just messes with the people that are interested in this show. A lot fewer people are interested when that happens. This time, what happened, what we thought might happen, did. Michigan absolutely murdered a team heading into this game. So we're excited to talk about it. Want to remind y'all, as we always do, in the comments, let us know your score. Like, subscribe, notification bell helps us out a ton. Want to plug a little bit of content from us. Josh is going to appear later this week on Land Grant Holy Land, probably midweek, Wednesday, Thursday. It'll come out there so you can check out some more content. He'll probably repeat some stuff you hear here, but he'll have some new nuggets for you too. And if y'all love us and y'all want to share us, that would be awesome. MGo Blog and 11 Warriors, Rivals Sites, Buckeye Scoop, all those places are great. We love it when you share wherever you talk about football. If you could share us, that would help us out a ton. All right, Josh, we've got good things to say about both of these teams, which hasn't been the case in the past. I think Michigan fans and Ohio State fans are going to take away from this one feeling pretty good, which we're kind of getting into Josh Pate territory with all this positivity. But, Josh, I want to start off with something you noted on Kevin Noon's show last week, and I noted in our info card for the Michigan State game, a lot of people are using, and maybe it's more down here in SEC country, a lot of people are using the fact that Michigan State was 130 out of 130 ranked in pass defense, and they're using that to undercut the accomplishment that CJ Stroud had and that this Ohio State offense had against Michigan State on Saturday. But Josh, what we noted in our numbers and what matters more is yards per attempt, and in that regard Michigan State was 34th and 15th in run defense, allowing only 3.3 yards per carry. So does that help contextualize just how good this offensive performance was on Saturday for Ohio State?
It does, and it should. The reality, look, they were 130th because teams were throwing at them so much. I mean, if you are 34th in yards per attempt allowed and you're 130th in passing yards allowed, that just means teams are choosing to throw almost exclusively. And the reason for that is that Michigan State was a very good run defense. Like you said, top 20 unit, maybe even like top 15, top 10 unit. And so if you're going to pick your poison against them, there's really no reason to run the ball because they have a flaw in the passing game and because they are so good against the run. And that really skewed, I think, a lot of perceptions. But Michigan State, even after the Ohio State game, is only giving up 7.2 yards per attempt. That's not a huge number. We usually say 7.5 yards per attempt is the point at which your passing game is quote-unquote functional. And when you look at them historically, the only two teams outside of Ohio State that had over 7.5 yards per attempt were Michigan and Purdue, who are good passing offenses. So there's this argument that Michigan State, yes, they were flawed. Yes, we've seen the fact that their secondary had issues, but I don't know that it was to the extent people want to make it out to be. I mean, Nebraska was 36 pass attempts. They had 248 yards, 6.9 per. Miami had 6.5 yards per on 60 pass attempts. Now, that was a game they gave up 388 passing, but again, 60 pass attempts, and they only gave up 17 points. So I do think what Ohio State did in that game is extremely impressive. I think people that are trying to blow it away or ignoring or sort of cherry-picking statistics to discount what Michigan State did. And we're very consistent. I think we're very consistent and fair with how we analyze teams. Yards per attempt is the stat that matters. That does mean Michigan State was actually, I don't know that they were good. I think they're probably poor still, but a not terrible pass defense like people want to make them out to be. And look, man, even if they're a bad or poor pass defense, 32 of 35 passing for 432 yards and 6 touchdowns, that is genuinely hard to do against air. And to discount that against anyone with a pulse, I think is a serious mistake and seriously undercounts the just tremendous development improvement Ohio State's made to get to this point in the year and where that offense has gotten to.
Yeah, and I think it's a credit to Ryan Day. I do genuinely think that they've made adjustments based on what they saw that Stroud excelled at and what he wasn't great at the beginning of the year, and really repackaged that offense around him in a way that's really set him up for success. And to his credit, he's kind of taken it and run with it. So we always like to say, you know, cool your jets. When you don't play really good teams, you have a stretch of bad teams and you see improvement. But I think that you are who you are at this point. And I think, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, these teams are who they are offensively at this point. Maybe Alabama defensively too, which is not great for them. On the flip side of the ball, Josh, we've been singing Michigan's praises all year. And they've had a couple of knucklehead games. I'm not even dinging them for Michigan State. They were up on Michigan State in that game. They did take the loss, but we, even before the Ohio State game, we took a lot of heat for this. We were ranking Michigan ahead of Michigan State even before Michigan State lost to Ohio State. And I think it's because we consider the entire resume and the fact, and Michigan fans will appreciate this, everybody's saying you can't put Michigan ahead because of head-to-head, but then they also want to say that home field matters, and they talk how these great crowds and it's hard to win on the road and all of this. That game was straight up. That was one play one way or the other determining the win, and it was on the road. So you can't tell me on a neutral field Michigan wouldn't be favored. They would. So I think that people didn't consider that. Okay, so Josh, explain to people why we are higher on Michigan this year and have both said this is Harbaugh's best coaching job he's done in a really long time. Someone we've criticized a lot, deserves credit. Explain how the fact that they're handling their business where they haven't in the past against lesser teams means a whole lot of maybe signaling a difference to us about who this Michigan team is or could be versus who they have been in the past, even when they've won 10 games.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to like about Michigan. I mean, from a base statistical standpoint, 5.1 yards per carry, 8.1 yards per attempt. That's not Ohio State numbers, but those are good numbers. This is a team that does run the ball well. And this is a team that has, in general, a competent passing game. Now, the passing game has still been spotty. Sorry, my voice. Spotty at times. They haven't done everything they wanted to do. They haven't done it the way they necessarily wanted to do it. But it has been solid. I mean, like Michigan State, it was 8.5 yards per attempt. 48 pass attempts for 406 yards. Last week against Maryland, 8.8 yards per attempt. Indiana was 8 yards per attempt. And they even had 10 to 13 yards per attempt in a lot of the early games, like Rutgers, Northern Illinois, Western Michigan. We have not seen that kind of consistent production from Michigan on the offensive side of the ball in a while. And yeah, there have been some bad games, you know, Nebraska, Northwestern, but those were the exceptions. Where in the past, the exception, like I look back at 2020 or 2019, it almost felt like the exceptions were the good games. You know, in 2019, you had a lot of games, like, you know, the Maryland game and the Penn State game and the Iowa game and the Army game and the Middle Tennessee State game and the Wisconsin game, where you're all under 7.5 yards per attempt. And so the fact that they've turned that around and they've been able to consistently put out that production, they don't have a game like you're playing someone like Army and can't move the ball through the air, says a lot. And then on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't know if we want to get into the model yet or not, but I'll give you a couple numbers from our model. Opponent percentages allowed, right? You know, opponent rushing averages allowed, or percentage of opponent passing averages allowed. Michigan is allowing teams to 82% of opponent passing averages and 91% of opponent rushing averages. Ohio State is allowing teams to 80% of opponent rushing averages, but 91% of opponent passing averages. So in our model, Michigan and Ohio State's defenses are fairly equal. And Michigan has the advantage of having one of, really, honestly, in the Big Ten, one of the few pass defenses that is significantly above average. So, you know, when you sort of put all that together, you end up with a Michigan team that is offensively not on Ohio State's level, but only a tick or two behind it. I would say maybe two ticks behind it, but still good. And then defensively, the defenses in our model are about evenly matched. But Michigan's advantage is in pass defense, whereas Ohio State's is in run defense. Those are both kind of strength-on-strength matchups for where both teams want to go. But that pass defense number is just really, really important. If you can keep a team, you know, like Ohio State, that is averaging a clean 10 yards per attempt right now, to a number that is 8.17 yards per attempt it's projecting, now all of a sudden Ohio State's pass offense isn't super explosive. They're good, they're competent, they're moving the ball, they're not super explosive. And I think that's why our model thinks this is a close game. It has Ohio State outgaining Michigan by almost over a yard, almost a yard and a half per play, about 5.4 yards per play. It has the score 37-30. And honestly, I don't know that it's outrageous. I mean, 37 points is a lot to give up. But when you look at Ohio State's defensive statistics, you know, the question really becomes, is Ohio State a team that really has improved a ton defensively to where this is off? And I'll tell you that opponent passing averages allowed, I think, was almost a 5% drop. I want to say it was about 96%, or was 96% just last week. That's how much it moved after the Michigan State game. So there's signs of a defensive improvement. But if there's one thing we've learned on this channel doing this now for however many, like 5 years now, it's that if you have sudden shifts or changes, more often than not, it's a temporary thing. It's one game. It's the other team being off. It's your team playing really out of their mind and being motivated. It's difficult to have that kind of instant swing and then maintain it. So it is interesting to me that it's a 7-point game. But, you know, when you look at, you know, and I just looked at Vegas and whatnot, I'm not sure it's totally out of reason. And I think the numbers do kind of make sense.
So Ohio State fans noted in the comments, and that's right, we read your comments. That's why we ask you to comment. They noted that you said last week that Ohio State's defense is merely good, not great. Merely good, nothing more, I think is what you said. And they were really excited. They're like, I'll take it. Because what they know is merely good with an elite offense is championship material. That's 2019 LSU material. That's what 2018 Oklahoma needed and didn't have material. They had a trash defense. And Ohio State in the past has had a great offense and really bad defense. So they'll take merely good. But I'm going to go one more. And Josh, this is interesting. While you were putting together the model earlier, I was walking through some numbers, and there's enough data, I think, statistically significant data. Now, home and away splits are a little bit of a tricky part of this, but there's six common opponents here between Michigan and Ohio State. And what do we think coming into this game? That Ohio State's got a much better offense than Michigan, which they probably do because I think they've got the best offense in the country, but that Michigan's going to have the upper hand defensively. And there's two things to note here. One is matchups, and I want you to talk about matchups. I'm going to talk about overall. Overall, not so fast, because in those six common opponents, Ohio State's given up 14.6 points per game. Michigan State, 21.3. I'm willing to give Michigan State a mulligan with Michigan, a mulligan with a Michigan State game. Michigan's given up 21.3 with Aug 6. You take that one wacky game out, and they're giving up a really respectable 16.8 points per game. 16.8 points per game against six Power 5 Big Ten teams in the modern RPO era is excellent. Ohio State's given up 14.6, and at some point over the course of the year, those numbers start to say who you are. And we forget, like we see or remember Ohio State maybe having some issues early in the year with offense, you know, defense against Oregon or against Minnesota. We forget when they give up 7 to Michigan State, because that just happened. The offense was great, but they only gave up 7. They gave up 17 to Nebraska. You know, they gave up 7 to Indiana, 17 to Maryland. These are statistically important numbers to talk about. So, Josh, while that's impressive, and I do think it bears mentioning because it's important, I'm going to give you the flip side and say and talk about how the fact that total points are one thing, but because of what you mentioned in terms of matchups and playing strength on strength, how that might mean that this actually plays a lot more in Michigan's favor than it might for Michigan against another team.
The trick here is that you've got an Ohio State passing offense that has been explosive more than it's been efficient in general. And I think when you have a game like this where you've got two teams that have some matchup advantages, the ability to make the other team work is really important. And I think something that's really benefited defensively Ohio State is that they've gotten big leads. Like the Michigan State game, yes, they absolutely blew them out. They absolutely dominated that game. But they had some stuff kind of go their way. I think the same thing happened, I think it was the Purdue game, right? When Michigan State got in a hole, and it was really, there was a fumble that kind of led to them being up enough scores where Michigan State was really in a big hole, I think it changed the dynamics of how Michigan State was playing Ohio State. In particular, Kenneth Walker had 6 carries in that Ohio State-Michigan State game. And when you are not able to get him the ball and lean on him, who is by far their best player, it really put them in a position where I think they were going to be unable to win. And when you compare that to, let's say, the Michigan-Michigan State game, Kenneth Walker had 23 carries for 197 yards. And yeah, he had a crazy 80.6 yards per attempt average, but a lot of that was on a couple big runs. And I don't think he ever got going in the Ohio State game. So I think what I'm saying from that is if Michigan can play defense well enough to just not get in a big hole early and to play their game, I think they're in a decent position to at least stay in this. And I think that keeps them, you know, playing balanced football, keeps them with the ability to run the ball. And then maybe if you can do all that, you know, you get like good defensive pressure. And again, Michigan has some phenomenal players. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is a great disruptor. You've got David Ajabo and a lot of other guys that can create pressure. You know, maybe you can actually stop some drives. Maybe you can get some negative plays. Maybe you can lean on the run game. And the big thing with a high power offense is if you can keep them on the bench, it does affect their rhythm and tempo. That can keep Michigan in the game. Now, I'm not saying that Michigan is going to win it, but I talked about the fact that the model and Vegas are interesting lined up. And it's funny, we've gotten so close to the model so often that apparently there's a group of people now that think we're just copying Vegas, which I think maybe is kind of flattering on our end. But the over-under in this game is 64, and the spread is Ohio State by 8. And our model has this 67 points and Ohio State by 7. And at some point, and we say this a lot, when Vegas and the model are spitting out the same data, you ought to set up and take notice a little bit, because that's telling you this probably is fairly picked as a being about a 1-touchdown lead for Ohio State. And I think you just more than anything have to sit back and think, okay, at least in our model's eyes and in Vegas's eyes, who's not stupid, why do they think this is a 1-touchdown game? And I think it's the ability that Michigan has to not let Ohio State just run away with it on offense, and the fact that they, you know, they have a balanced offense themselves that can probably sustain drive some and at least keep Ohio State's tempo from overwhelming them. I think that balances out to make this a pretty competitive football game.
The thing I like about maybe our model and especially Vegas is that people respect Michigan, and they should. Michigan at number 6, I think, is a fair ranking. I think that they are a team that in the past has been overranked because maybe of brand and a clean record. They've earned their clean record this year. And for both Michigan and Ohio State, the win that I appreciate more than the pundits will because of their record is Penn State. Penn State is a very good defensive team. Penn State is a game, I think, even now, with however many losses, like you said in week 2, Penn State's going to have at least 3 more losses, right? And I think they've got 5 now.
And everyone absolutely tore me apart.
You got dragged. There was so much slander on your name because you said they'd have 4 losses in week 2 when they were ranked number 4 in the country. You said they were going to have 4 losses. They're 7-4. The thing that people didn't appreciate that at that time was you said that largely because of their schedule, not because of who they are. And we forget about this a lot, that there's a lot of teams out there, like I'm sure everybody would much rather play UTSA, who's undefeated and Barrett hadn't needed a miracle to beat UAB, than Penn State right now, who's 7-4. And so that's a good win for both of these teams. Nebraska is a good win for both of these teams. These are 2 quote-unquote ugly wins for both of these teams that I think are much better than they're going to get credit for. Having said that, I also think that people are whistling past the graveyard a little bit on this Ohio State offense. They want to find an excuse every week. They do it with Alabama, too, in the past. They're doing it with Georgia on their defense, ain't played no offense, blah, blah, blah. People see Ohio State, and they look at that Michigan State pass defense, and they say, man, they, you know, they're terrible. Anybody would put up those numbers. And then they go back a couple of games and they look at Nebraska and Penn State. And, you know, you had a defensive touchdown. So you scored in the 20s against Penn State. You scored in the 20s against Nebraska or somewhere near there. But the thing is, like you talked about in terms of who the exceptions versus the rules, right now, those 20-somethings games were the exception, the vast exception to the Ohio State offensive rule this year. Which tells me, and if you look at Penn State and as a Kahneman opponent, Michigan maybe scored over their head versus production, and Ohio State scored way below what they should have relative to production. I think Ohio State's offense keeps rolling. Give me Ohio State 38, Michigan 24.
It's interesting because I do think there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. And for example, you talk about the Nebraska game, and I agree with you. I think Nebraska was a quality win for both these teams. Michigan scored 32 against Nebraska. It was 32-29. Michigan statistically didn't have a great day passing, 6.7 yards per attempt, threw a pick. But Haskins got his. They didn't. Corum got his and more, 6.8 yards per attempt, 5.9 yards per carry. Three touchdowns between them. Over 200 yards. And Ohio State versus Nebraska, just a few weeks ago, mind you, scored 26, not 32. Stroud was 7.5 yards per attempt. Henderson was 4.4 yards per carry. Ohio State did not have 100 yards rushing in that game. I'm not ready to pick Michigan to win the game, but I'm not sure Ohio State covers. I'm going to take this game, I'm going to say 34-31 Ohio State. On paper, this could be a close game. Now, I think if Ohio State gets up on Michigan early, and I know if this ends up being a blowout, people are going to say I'm crazy, stupid, the model's awful, etc. If Ohio State gets up on Michigan early, Michigan is not equipped to catch back up, and this game could become a rout because they don't need to be in a pass-first situation. But if they can stay in the game, a lot like what happened with Arkansas versus Alabama to a certain extent, where they can continue to run the ball and play their offense and take occasional shots and not feel like they have to, you know, be throwing the ball and have to get every first down in the game, and they can just sort of stay in it at whatever the pace is, I think this game ends up being pretty close. And I don't think it's in any way a shot on Ohio State. It's the fact that Michigan is an underrated team that is quite good. In fact, like, and I'm going to pull up right now live, and I don't even know what the numbers are, but I'm almost guarantee this is going to be true. I guarantee this is going to be one of the highest rated Michigan teams in many, many years. I mean, in BCF, it's Brian Fromo's FEI ratings. Michigan is the fourth best quality team in the country. 0.97. The gap between them and Ohio State is about the same as Ohio State and Georgia. Actually, Georgia is a little bit more ahead of Ohio State than Ohio State is ahead of Michigan. Michigan is the number six efficiency offense in the country. Now, Ohio State's number one by a margin, but six ain't a slouch. And defensively, Michigan is 14th to Ohio State's 39th. And if I look back in recent years, right, I mean, Michigan, like, hasn't been a highly touted team in a significant while. And I'm trying to think, like, 2019, they were 12th at the end of the year when Ohio State was first. 2018, they were sixth. That was the year, you know, maybe they had their best shot. Ohio State was only 11th that year in FEI. But in terms of quality, this is the highest rated Michigan team in years. And I think they've slipped under the radar. I think their schedule hasn't been brutally difficult. It's had some difficult teams, but more than anything, I think it's kind of hit them. And they had an off game against Michigan State. This is one of the most dangerous teams Ohio State's played in a long time. You should not sleep on this game. Michigan is absolutely capable of beating Ohio State, and they're absolutely capable of beating Ohio State without me saying Ohio State is some sort of deficient or bad team. This is simply a very good Michigan team, and it will be a very good win if Ohio State's able to win this game, especially if they can do it convincingly.
And there's going to be people in the comments or people's takeaways that we picked one, you know, for Ohio State and one kind of for Michigan to kind of, appease both fan bases, but we don't do that here. If anything, we're brutally honest and our takes are to the point that it costs us subscribers and views because we piss everybody off. So that's not, we don't talk about our score predictions before we give them. So, so I'm actually kind of shocked that it came out that way, but that's kind of how we see this game. Like it's interesting because when we first started talking about this, I was thinking a little closer and then I dug into a little more of the statistics and the common opponents. Maybe I'm also not given enough credit for home field, and I think Vegas is. So that's a situation where maybe I'm not given enough credit because it's going to be rocking. But yeah, that's kind of it here. Josh, really quick on this: if Michigan wins, what does that do for the playoff situation? Is it really nothing because it just swaps Michigan and Ohio State, or what?
I don't know how much it does. I'll say you didn't normally you ask me the path. I will say if Michigan wins, they're going to do it on the backs. They're going to have to do it on the back of the running backs. Haskins and Corum are phenomenal players. We didn't even talk about Ohio State's receivers are phenomenal. Look, you guys know who they are. We're not ignoring them all. But I don't know how Michigan's going to be viewed because if you're a team that's relying on your backs, funnily enough, looking a lot like Georgia and how you're winning the game, coming out of the Big Ten with the schedule Michigan had, where they didn't necessarily face a ton of the ranked teams or currently ranked teams. I don't know. I'm not sure how much credit they're going to get. And I'm not sure that it's fair. I mean, they played Wisconsin. Beat them. They lost to Michigan State. They will have beaten Ohio State. I'm not sure what more you can do.
But they're going to be in the playoffs. Like, if they win out, they're going to be a one-loss Big Ten champion.
Like, right. I don't think there's any doubt they're in the playoffs if they win out. I'm more talking about seeding, right? Because Ohio State right now, where were they in? I got to back up last week and look, making my job hard here. Week 12 playoff rankings, Ohio State was fourth. Okay, so they were behind Oregon, behind Alabama, behind Georgia. I imagine you're going to have Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Cincinnati as your top four. I'm not sure that they end up ahead of Cincinnati. I'm not sure they do. I'm not sure that's fair, but I think it's a little bit of the perceived dominance of Ohio State that may or may not be fair, and that Michigan may not get as much credit for it. But they're in the playoffs. Now, I'll tell you the confusing thing for any of this is, okay, let's say they win or Ohio State wins. Let me throw one more thing out at you, and maybe we even leave this open-ended. What happens if the winner of this game loses the Big Ten championship? And I don't think anybody thinks Ohio State or Michigan is going to lose the Big Ten championship. But man, if Ohio State loses this game and then Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship, and let's say they lose to Wisconsin, you have a whole other can of worms on, do you put Ohio State in? Do you put Michigan in? Do you put Wisconsin in? Do you put somebody else in? Chaos with 2 weeks left to go is absolutely on the board. And I almost don't want to guess at what could happen because I think the possibilities are still very much in the realm of this universe, and there's a lot of stuff still on the table.
In a year where everybody assumes chalk, they shouldn't at this point, but everybody is still assuming chalk from here on out. That's how everybody's discussing the playoffs right now. I'm starting to feel like we're going to have a two-loss team in the playoffs. I just feel like this year that's going to happen. All right, y'all, a quick note from me, a personal note. I promised my wife I'd do this. Josh held the live show last night on his own. We lost a very beloved personal family dog named Teddy. And I know it's silly for some of y'all, but pets are a huge deal in our house and for a lot of y'all as well. And a lot of y'all can feel that. Teddy was an awesome dog. He loved the bigs in the house, the adults. He did not love any small children, which was kind of endearing in his own way. And it was a tough bout with doggy cancer. And we did get 4 or 5 months of great, happy time with him after he got that diagnosis. But y'all, love your pets. Love them. Hold them tight. Even if you're a cat person, love those too. We love you, Teddy. RIP. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless. We'll be right back.